Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your own hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." The Gospel of the Lord. God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever had the experience of, there's a group of people gathered around and they're all talking with one another and you haven't been part of the conversation, and all of a sudden you walk up either behind them or into the room and you hear this really strange remark? I mean, it may not be strange to them, but to you, you think, what in the world are you talking about? Maybe you haven't. I've walked up on a few of you and I've said that a few times. So, or maybe you've been a part of a conversation with a group of people and you go away for a minute. Maybe you need to get a glass of water or something else. And you come back and suddenly the conversation has changed somewhat and you wonder, what in the world's going on? How did you get here from where we were just a second ago? Well, in a lot of ways, that's what's happened in the gospel lesson that we have for today. Now, this lesson is a continuation of the lesson that we talked about last week. And it takes place shortly after Jesus is baptized by John and goes in the wilderness. He spends 40 days out there. He prays, he fasts, he wrestles with what it is that God wants him to be about. And so then when he comes back, he begins his ministry by going throughout the area of Galilee. And he teaches, and he preaches, and he heals people. And pretty soon, people begin to talk. Not bad things, they're talking good things. They're talking about, wow, you won't believe what this guy's done. You won't believe the things that we've seen him do. You won't believe the message that he's giving to people. And eventually, the word gets back to his hometown. Now, you know, when you're from a small town, everybody knows what you've done before you do it. Right? It seems that way. And so word begins to filter back to Nazareth. Hey, did you hear about Jesus? And I was trying to imagine, what might the response be? I mean, for those of you that are teachers or you know, you've run into people before, and then things come back, you know how that is. What would the people's response be to Jesus, to this word? You know, there had to be some people that were just skeptical. Really? Jesus? I mean, come on now. I remember that kid running up and down the streets, playing with the kids. He's doing what now? Miracles? Really? And, you know, then there had to be other people that, I don't know, maybe they thought, wow, this is really great. Hometown boy makes good. We all know some of those folks, right? Yeah, makes us feel good about ourselves, makes us feel good about the town that we're in. There were probably some people that that wondered, did you guys get the right person? Jesus, I mean, Jesus is a really common name back in those days. Kind of like, if you go to Minnesota, no wait, go to Minnesota, I can't do it. You guys, some of you guys I know can do the accent really well. And look at the name Johnson. There's 84,000 Johnsons in a small a town of 85,000 people. Well, Jesus was really common, kind of like John Smith or Carl Johnson back in those days. And then there were probably some people who thought, you know, we're just really not sure one way or the other. We'll just wait and see. Maybe it's him, maybe it isn't, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. But then, something really interesting happens. He goes home. And you can just kind of see, you know, people thinking, what's this going to be like? They're excited, but skeptical. Interested? Curious. All kinds of stuff going on. And that's kind of where this lesson picks up a little bit today. Now, there are some things that we do know and some things that we don't know about Jesus' visit to his hometown, his first visit since he's been out in the wilderness. So let's kind of look at those real quickly. First thing, we don't know how long he was in town before he went to the synagogue. Doesn't say. He could have been there a week, a day, an hour. We don't know. He was there. We do know that he was asked to read, and we know the passage of Scripture that he read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, we know that. We know that the people were amazed at what he said in the synagogue and maybe what he had been saying when he was in town. We know that. We know that he preached a sermon. This is all we know. Today these words have been fulfilled in your hearing. Nothing else. We don't get the rest of the story. We don't get the rest of the sermon. Doggone it. Wouldn't it have been cool to hear what it was? But whatever it was, we know one thing. Eventually, something happened. And he either said something, well, he did say something, and it irritated a whole bunch of people. Irritated them so much that they grabbed him. I'm glad we don't have a cliff around here. They grabbed him, walked him to the edge of the cliff, and they were going to throw him off. Maybe there's some weeks you want to do that too. I don't know. But that's what happened, and then he got away. So what happened in that period? And see, that's kind of like that little conversation at the beginning. We just don't know. Well, one of the nice things about the Gospels are there's a lot of things we don't know, but we get to kind of speculate on those. And so I thought about this for a while, and I kind of came up with three different reasons why people maybe wanted to, or they were angry with him. And you can come up with your own. And you might come up with a whole bunch more. I don't know. But I've got three. And those are what we're going to talk about. And then we're going to see as well how those things apply to us in our life today and our relationship with God and our relationship to one another. So the first one is this. Jesus didn't live up to their expectations. You know, we all have expectations. We have expectations of people. We have expectations of teachers and pastors, of the people that wait on us in a store, our political leaders, we all have expectations of other people. And they had expectations of Jesus. They had heard amazing and marvelous things about Him and about the things that He had done. And perhaps He just didn't live up to that. They liked the words that He said. I mean, we're told that. He had wonderful words, words of hope, words of promise, words that filled their heart with God's love. But I think they were looking for more than that. Because what had they heard about? The really cool things that He had done. The blind had been made to see, the deaf had been made to hear, the dead had been raised, the lepers had been healed, the sick had been made better, all these things. And we're told in Mark's gospel that He could barely do anything there. And people were wondering, come on, buddy. I mean, after all, what? We grew up with you. We know we're the hometown folks. You should treat us better than the rest of those guys. Right? You did all this stuff at Capernaum, and what are you doing for me? What are you doing for us? Nothing. They're a little irritated. They kept pushing, wanting to know why. And you know, there are a lot of people like that today with God. You know, there are a lot of folks out there that are really great with God until life doesn't go their way. And when some disaster, some calamity, some whatever happens, and God doesn't perform like a genie in a bottle or a vending machine, they get ticked off. And a lot of times, they leave. I don't have any use for you. What good have you ever done for me? I pray to you, I talk to you, I've been good to you, and what have you done? Nothing. So, bye. And there are folks like that. So one reason maybe is because He didn't live up to their expectations. Second reason might be He was too familiar. I mean, they knew Him as a little kid. It's really hard when you've known somebody as a little kid and then they come back and you're like really older than they are. Maybe you go visit the doctor who looks like he's 12. Telling you what you need to do. I remember you. And I don't know if I want you touching me. And I was thinking about that, and the best example I could come up with in my own life is this one. As many of you know, my children, Matt and Allie, they love to play chess. I love to play chess. And I taught my kids to play chess when they were like 6 or 7 years old. And there's a rule in my home, and it goes like this. I do not ever let you win on purpose. I don't believe in that. If you beat me, you beat me fair and square. I'm a really competitive person. You know, right? Yeah, he's over there. Yeah, we know that. And my children are just as competitive, right? Yep. We are competitive folks. We can be good winners, but we also can be good losers. So the first few years, I stomped them all the time. Over the years, my son Matt has become a much better chess player than I am. And it took a lot of pride swallowing to admit that the boy's better. It took a lot more pride swallowing to allow him to say, Dad, you know what? If you'd have done this or this or this, you'd have had a much better chance. Because the first few times he did that, I just went, I brought you into the world. I can take you out of the world. I don't say that too much anymore. He's like 6'4", 220. I still could, but No, you know why? Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this. He will hesitate 1 second because I'm his father. I won't. No. So, but one of the things that's happened over the years is because of that, the fact that I can swallow my pride, which is really difficult for me to do, he's made me a better chess player. And so, you know, Jesus was such a familiar person that they're sitting there a lot of times going, what do you know? We're the ones, the rabbis, we're the ones that taught you. Now you're trying to teach us? Sometimes somebody can be so close that you no longer see. And it can be because of age or sex or religion or social status or whatever. And one of the things that we have to do is to be open to all those people, no matter which of those things they are, that God places in front of us. Last one. Last one. As difficult as this might be for you to believe, not everybody is going to listen to you about God. Okay? I don't care how great your love, how many prayers, how much you care, how much you desire. There will be some people, some close, some not, usually they're close, who will not listen to you. They just won't. They are not your person of peace. And your person of peace is somebody who likes you, who does not know God, and who will listen to you. And so maybe somebody else is the person who will reach that individual. That doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you cease to pray. It doesn't mean that that you cease communicating with them. You know, you never stop those things. It just means that you may not be the person, but what we have to be doing is looking for the person who is our person of peace. That individual may be sitting right beside you at work, standing beside you in the grocery store. I don't know. And that's difficult sometimes. Really, it's hard. Because sometimes you care so much, but you just can't do a thing about it. So, this lesson can show us a number of things. One, we need to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts open for those who need, around us, who need to, you know, to feel God's presence. We need to be open to listen to everybody, not just some folks. And three, well, may not be the person that you think, but it may be the person who gets to you. I don't know. But like Jesus, you know, Jesus really could have done something real easily here, and he didn't. He could have said, I went to my hometown, the people that I love the most, and they didn't listen to me, so I'm done. Right? I'm going to take my ball and go home. And he didn't. Instead, he went out, and he didn't give up. And that's what you and I are called to do as well. There's a whole world out there of hurting people who need to know God's love. And you and I cannot give up. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your